Barbecue is a Southern food, right? And it is very serious business. Almost everyone has an opinion on the best way to cook it, the best way to flavor it, and the best way to serve it. But it's controversial for another reason as well. Barbecue has roots in slavery and African American history, and some popular barbecue restaurants have decidedly racist pasts. A recent New Yorker article called barbecue the most political food in the country. So with us to, pardon me, chew this over is Kathleen Purvis, food writer with the Charlotte Observer. Hello again, Kathleen.
Good morning.
Also, welcome back, Chuck Reese, editor for The Bitter Southerner.
Glad to be here.
And Michael Twitty, a food writer and historian. Hi, Michael.
Good morning.
Okay, so Michael, can we first address this idea that barbecue is the most political food in the country? Can we sort of at this point leave racism out of it and just ask whether it's political or not?
It's political by the very fact of the nature. It was the food that fueled political gatherings. I mean, that's the probably the biggest thing about it, is that this was a food tradition that was used to manipulate and lubricate, the course of American democracy, and the fact that for so long, and even to this day, the power source of that democracy was among the Southern elite, and that's undeniable. I mean, from Washington to Jackson to post-Civil War to even today, that barbecue is a major way to manipulate and sway the course of who votes what.
Kathleen, why is that? Why did barbecue become the type of food that is so often associated with political gatherings and rallies?
Well, I think there are two reasons for that. One of them is that it's something everyone enjoys. The other reason is because when we're in the campaign season is typically when hogs were slaughtered, and it was the time of year to do large barbecues. It was after the harvest was when people were considering who was going to be on the stump. And you want to get a whole bunch of people together and put them in a really, really good mood. You put a pig in a hole in the ground and cook it and then give it away.
And Chuck, do you think it's fair to say that barbecue is just a truly, regardless of its roots in Africa and in the Caribbean, but at this point, is barbecue an American food?
Well, I guess it is. But, you know, the thing about all Southern food is that it has elements of African and Caribbean cuisine in it. You know, the easiest thing to look at is a pot of okra to figure that out.
Okay, people might be upset by what you just said. They might not want, for food is very personal to people, and some people want to think that that's part of an American tradition, that it doesn't come from Africa.
Well, I'm sorry if it would upset people, but, it really is the case. You know, if you look at, almost every Southern cuisine has the influences of people who were brought here against their will originally. But there are things, you know, there's also a little joy in that when the things do come together to make a great dish. You know, food brings us together to talk about the things that are difficult to talk about. Honestly, it's really, usually when I'm talking to Kathleen and Michael, we're talking about this kind of stuff, but there's whiskey involved.
This is public radio. There's no whiskey here. I just want to make that perfectly clear.
That's y'all's first mistake.
Michael, when you go back in the history books and try to trace back some of the early masters of barbecue, most of them were African American. How did we now get to a place where many of the sort of well-known chefs of barbecue are white guys?
So that you may as well ask the same question about the banjo and the blues.
There you go.
The three B's, went from the Blacks to the Bubbas. And I mean, I want to go back to what Chuck said and what you said. Well, that upset people. You know, that's the problem. You know, one of the things I've written about in, shameless plug, my forthcoming book, The Cooking Gene, is the fact that, you know, we have to get over this these missing branches and missing roots in the Southern family tree, cultural family tree, and genealogical and genetic family tree that go back to African origins. And the bottom line is that they aren't barbecuing in Liverpool. They're not barbecuing in Bristol. They're not barbecuing in Kent and Somerset, you know, where Southern British folks came from, or Dublin, or Westphalia. They're barbecuing in Africa and the Caribbean, though, African and Native people. And the bottom line is that one of the things that's really insulting and problematic about the way the Black agency in barbecue has been described, and I think that's why the banjo went the same way. Remember, the banjo was like, everybody knew it was an African instrument. And then the banjo became a tool of mockery through the minstrel show. And it was used to, both in the South and the North, to demean Black cultural aesthetics and creativity. So in the South, it was used to say, yep, these people are as inferior as we call it. In the North, it was used to say, see, Irish immigrants, you're better than them. And the same thing with barbecue. Barbecue, we were told, oh, yeah, old man so-and-so will barbecue for us. This Black man, Uncle so-and-so. Well, Uncle, that's already disrespectful. They think it's honorific, but it's really not. It was a way of not calling a Black man sir. And then, you know, that poor Black man who's paid pennies and given a leftover plate of food, he doesn't get anything for his work. He's a master craftsman. Robert Moss says that they are recognized Black barbecuers, and other authors too, and they're very true. But most of these folks are poor. They're given leftovers. They're given pennies for what they do. And when they do it, by the way, and this is my last point, people talk about them as if they're machines, as if they're animals, as if they're trained automatons to do the job by white people. And that was Bessinger's problem, and other folks in Texas. That's their problem, too. The idea that when Black people did it, we were just trained to do it. But a good Southern white man knows exactly how to do it and do it well, because he has the brains, but the Blacks have the brawn.
So another shameless plug, one of the first attempts to reclaim the heritage of the banjo was in the Afro-American Symphony, which was the first orchestral work to use a banjo, written by my grandfather, William Grant Still, grew up in Arkansas. Kathleen, let me then read you another tweet, and that's from Roy Lee, who says, I thought fried chicken was the most political food. What do you... What do you say about that?
I think that is, once again, getting into stereotypes and the assumption that all we eat in the South is barbecue and fried chicken. And, that's kind of I can understand his point, maybe, but I think it's kind of limited. I also think that one of the reasons, Michael, that we get into this ownership idea is because the work of barbecue is terribly difficult labor. You have to be over hot coals 12 hours and do it again the next day, do it over and over again. And the people who could afford to open the restaurant, pay for the pigs, tended to be white. And the people that they paid to cook it tended to be Black in the 20th century, I think. And that doesn't I'm not defending that at all, but I'm just saying that there is both sides come into play with barbecue.
Right.
So then let me bring Chuck in, bring you back into this, Chuck, because one of the contentions of the New Yorker was exactly what Kathleen is talking about, that you had these restaurants that were built, especially one particular restaurant, that were built largely by white guys who could get the credit, building on the skills of African Americans. But in this case, had a very open, blatant, racist past. And that brings us to today. Should that make us stay away from that restaurant because of its past, or can we put it behind us?
Well, that was an interesting thing. So much in that story to me was about what is going on in the Bessinger family.
Right.
Right. And, you know, how they sort their stuff out is on them. You know, I personally, I'd bypass Piggy Park, you know, if I was up in over there, you know, looking for barbecue. But the thing, you know, the thing that we've got to remember about barbecue, every single thing that that Michael has said this morning is true in my view, because so much of the history of what we eat in the South has been blotted out, like so much of our other history in the South. And now we're at a time in our history when people are becoming more willing to attempt to bring that stuff up, look at it, and attempt to reconcile with it. And the amazing thing about food is that it's a place that, okay, you can argue correctly that there were gaps between the races in the history of barbecue, and there was tension and ill will and bad action, all of that stuff. But at the same time, you look at stories where barbecue today brings people together across those barriers in ways it didn't. I mean, there's an amazing story that Kathleen could probably tell you more about, you know, a black pitmaster named Rodney Scott and a white pitmaster named Sam Jones up in North Carolina and the relationship that they've developed. Okay.
Kathleen, you want to finish that story?
Well, they are both younger. They're both descendants of long barbecue families. And I quoted from Rodney in the story that I wrote about the Bessingers that kind of started this whole thing rolling with the New Yorker. The two of them are both elevating barbecue to a certain degree. And
right.
They have a lot in common, and they're working together on that. Rodney just opened a new restaurant in Charleston that's already getting great acclaim. And Sam is the grandson of Pete Jones, who started the Skylight Inn in Aden, North Carolina, and has now opened a much larger and sort of fancier barbecue restaurant not far away in Greenville, North Carolina, called Sam Jones Barbecue. And it is wonderful to see that younger thing. The other thing I would mention, though, Chuck, the one I thought you were going to when you brought that up, mm-hmm. is I've also read that there is a history in the 50s in the Carolinas of barbecue restaurants becoming, in a way, the first integrated restaurants. Because they were black-owned, they were black-cooked, but white people wanted to eat the food.
Yeah.
And so they were going to places that the rest of society didn't allow people to cross paths. And yet you found both coming together and trying to eat something that everybody loved. There's been some writing on that over the years as well, that role of sort of the shared space.
Michael, I want to read you this tweet because it sounds like, forgive me, Leonard E. Henry, who sent this tweet, if I am mischaracterizing your tweet, but it sounds very facetious to me. He says, which is more racist, mustard sauce or ketchup-based barbecue and made from pigs? Islamophobic. My goodness. So let me be the devil's advocate here, Michael, and say, look, it's just food. What if I...
Nah, it's never been just food. It's never been just food. When Tiger Woods was the top of his game, he was just an American. He was an American who acknowledged all of his different parts. And when he did that as a human being, the first thing they did was lob at him fried chicken or collard greens or whatever the hell they eat. You are an outsider by virtue of the fact, and they didn't focus on his Asian or Native or European ancestry. They focused on that one part that pissed them off, and that was being African. And so I'm going to put it to you right now. Until people are willing and able to define for me and talk about the Nigerian, Ghanaian, Senegalese, and let's go to the next level, Wolof, Yoruba, Congo, roots of what it means to be a Southerner and an American, they can cut that. Because the bottom line is people don't know. These things were obfuscated, they were buried, because they offended the sensibilities of white supremacy. And now that we have a voice and we can talk about these things, now it's not important anymore. At least, you know what, I love the writings of slaveholders and people during antebellum slavery. You know why? Because at least they gave us a little bit more credit than people do today.
What do you mean?
They when things were black, they said they were black. And they had no problem saying that because they held the keys. The mistress held the keys to the kitchen and the master held the keys to the big house. But guess what? They had no problem saying we were the best. The best chefs, the best barbecue men, the best everything. And they had no problem saying that it was our craft and our skill came from the fact that we were of African descent. At least they gave us that while they whipped us.
Todd Rehm tweet. Todd Rehm tweets.
I'm not playing.
Clearly.
He never does.
Todd Rehm tweets, when I was in law school, some students would road trip to barbecue restaurants from Supreme Court civil rights cases. And Chuck, I'm sure that there is a feeling among some people that they don't want to have to think this deeply about food, that they just, if they like the taste of a kind of food, that they just want to eat it without having to worry about all of this heavy history.
Well, you know, such is the dilemma of intelligence, you know? I mean, it's like, here's the thing that I like about, or here's the thing that all of this tends to bring me to. What you're seeing in discussions like this is Southern culture shifting on the fly. Mm. You know, because here's the thing. Yeah, we can eat these foods and not worry about it a bit. But if we have some curiosity in us and we all want to know about our roots, now we're at a point, and it's because people like Michael are out here doing this work that we're at this point, we can go deeper into those roots than we ever have. And it's going to be tough. It raises dilemmas. But it's worth doing. And the food is tasty.
It is tasty. Chuck Reese, editor for The Bitter Southerner, also Michael Twitty, blogger and food historian, and Kathleen Purvis, food writer with the Charlotte Observer. Thank you all so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good talk to y'all.